If a man dies, shall he live again? Those immortal words were said by the patriarch Job a long time ago. Most of us know his story very well, how much he suffered, probably more than hardly anyone ever has. Lost all his possessions in one day, lost his 7 sons, his 3 daughters, all of his servants. That's all in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 2 says that his body was covered with painful boils. Then we know his 3 friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, come to be with him, to mourn with him, to comfort him. But when they get there, their conversations with him basically come and they basically say that all of his pain and all of his sufferings are because of his sins. Job chapter 11. Well, if it's in the midst of one of those conversations with Zophar that Job asked that immortal question, if a man dies, shall he live again? In Job chapter 14, verse 14, we find those words of Job. Job chapter 14, verse 14. Job says, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. The first thing that we want to see from this question and from what follows in chapter 14 is the idea of man's immortality. Prior in this conversation with Zophar, in verse 7 and following, Job says this, for there's hope for a tree, if it's cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Job had observed, as we've all observed, that a fallen tree can sprout again, that it can continue to live, Job says. But Job had never seen a man rise from the grave. He had never seen the same thing happen with a man. Verse 12, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, they will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Certainly Job wanted an end to his suffering. He had so much pain and so much suffering, Job wanted an end to it. But he didn't want that end to be the fact that he would go into the grave. Verse 15 of this same chapter, Job says, you shall call and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. You shall call and I will answer you. Job did not want to answer that call in the sense of staying in the grave because he had never seen anyone rise from the grave. He had never seen that, never experienced that. Well, of course, men through the ages have, when they would visit a cemetery or when they were at a funeral, men would answer the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? Some men would say, no, he's not going to live. He's not going to be anywhere because he ceases to exist at his death. Countless people through the ages have believed that. Multitudes believe that today. The man lives on this earth for a few years and then he dies and that's the end of the story. They don't believe in immortality. They don't believe that the man continues to exist in any form or any shape. That is their belief. That is their answer to if a man dies, shall he live again. But in Matthew chapter 10, we have these words found for us in verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. These, of course, are the words of Christ Himself. He says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell there being Gehenna, that final place of destruction. So for Jesus, He said, men cannot kill the soul. Why? Because it continues to exist. It continues to exist. There is no end to it. Jesus says that man's soul is immortal. Well, others, when they visit a cemetery, when they go to a funeral, when they are asked, or if they give their opinion about where that man is or shall he live again, some say he's just sleeping. That when he dies, he starts to what they call soul's sleep. That he's unconscious, he's unaware. But of course, all we have to do is turn to Luke 16, read about the rich man and Lazarus, and we find out otherwise. A person's soul does not sleep when they die. Both the rich man and Lazarus, when they died, what happened? They both went and were awake. They were aware. They could talk. They could have conversations. They could recognize things. They could think. Their spirit, their soul, their conscience was still in existence. Both of those men were in very different places, though. The Bible clearly teaches that the soul is immortal, that the soul does not cease to exist ever, that it continues to exist forever, and that its conscience, it's aware of who he is, who she is. They're aware. It seems that originally man was created with the potential to live indefinitely in his physical body. When we go back to Genesis chapter 3, this seems to be the implication of what is said in verse 22. Read with me Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And notice what it says there. Genesis 3 in verse 22, we read this, "Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand to take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." That's God speaking. So what did God do? "Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." But the sins that Adam and Eve committed in the garden brought death. It brought physical death, brought spiritual death. And remember, the primary definition of death is separation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, the Lord God, speaking to Adam, says, "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." You shall surely die. And that, of course, is exactly what began to happen when they did that. Physical death became a reality. They began to die. Before that point, they weren't dying. They weren't dying. But when they did, physical death came into the world. But also, spiritual death began at that point because they were separated from God. You know, before that, when they were walking in the garden, they were in God's presence. They talked with God. They had a very intimate relationship, a very personal relationship with God that was lost when God kicked them out of the garden. They no longer had that close personal relationship with God that they once had. Paul makes this point in Romans chapter 5 when he talks about death coming into the world. In Romans chapter 5, we'll just read one verse there, and that is verse 12. Paul says this about death. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Paul says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Death came into the world at that point. There was no death before then. No death at all. But at that point, death entered the world when sin entered the world, Paul said. Sin entered the world, death followed. But, as Job says, if a man dies, shall he live again? His soul, spirit, is immortal. Which leads us to the second point about these questions, these words that he uses in this conversation with Zophar. And that is that we are a two-part person. We're made of body and we're made of soul. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Holy Spirit uses a very detailed word in describing how man was formed. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we read this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." What did the Lord God do? Formed man of the dust of the ground. Obviously, that's talking about his physical body. The word formed there is the same Hebrew word that's used for what a potter does when he takes clay and molds it into a particular shape. That's what God did with Adam. Molded Adam from the dust of the ground into a particular shape, his physical body. And then he breathed into him life. Breathed into him life. Made him a living soul. Breathed into him physical life, mental life, spiritual life. At that point, he was a whole being. A whole being. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47, knows how this is put when Paul talks to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. He writes, "The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven." Made of dust, made of the earth, made of dirt. But until God breathed into him the breath of life, he was not alive. He was not alive. It was God that made him alive. And then the Bible informs us that man was made in God's image. We see that great verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the first part of it, where it says, "Let us make man. Let us make man in our image." Well, God is a spirit. Therefore, man has a spirit. There's a part of man that's a spirit because God said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, God is not physical. God doesn't have a physical body. So that part of man is not made in God's image. It's his spirit that's made in God's image. His soul is made in God's image. God formed man's spirit. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we see these words used, and then we'll go to Zechariah chapter 12. First of all, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. The wise man says, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." God gave man his spirit. It came from God. In Zechariah chapter 12, that Old Testament prophet uses something similar. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. "The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him." God forms the spirit of man within him. God gives man a soul. God gives man a spirit. God gives man that part that exists forever. It comes from God. God breathes into him. But then the Bible says, James makes this point in James chapter 2, that it's when the body and the soul separate that death occurs. Physical death. That's what physical death is when the spirit and the body separate. As it says in Ecclesiastes 12, the body goes back into the ground, but the spirit goes back to God. But spiritual death occurs because of sins. In Isaiah 59, we see this idea of separation caused because of sin. In Isaiah 59, the prophet says in the first two verses there of that chapter, he says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Your iniquities have separated you from God. Spiritual death is separation. What causes it? The only thing the Bible ever says causes separation between man and God is that individual's sins. That's what it is. Spiritual death is a separation from God. You know, Paul, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, used this idea of a person being dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins. Well, not physically dead, but spiritually dead. Because that's what causes spiritual death, trespasses and sins. But in those first six verses of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul also says that you he has made alive. King James, I think, says quickened. He's made alive. Not talking about physical birth, but spiritual birth. Being made alive by God. So yes, there are two parts of man. A physical body, a spiritual soul. And the third and last thing we understand from Job's statement, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" is the idea of a resurrection. Is the idea of a resurrection. Our Savior made a very bold proclamation that everyone would experience a bodily resurrection in John chapter 5 when he was having that great conversation. Toward the end of that conversation, he says in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, these words. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Those who are in the graves, not talking about their spirits, their bodies are going to come forth from the grave. Going to come forth from the grave. In Acts chapter 24, this idea is reinforced there in verse 15, where he says, "I have hope in God," this is Paul talking, "which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Our bodies, resurrected. Resurrected. Our physical bodies have to be raised and changed to fit our eternal state. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that these physical bodies that we have now cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they're corruptible. They're corruptible. Our bodies have to be changed, Paul says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul made this clear. In verse 35 of that great chapter on the resurrection, he says in verse 35, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Very good questions. Very similar to what Job said, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" Paul says in verse 42, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption." So our bodies are going to be different, but they have to be different because these bodies can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. They can't live in heaven. They have to be changed. They have to be transformed into something that is not corruptible. He says, "It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body." Now notice he's still talking about the physical body. It is raised a spiritual, physical body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. The natural body, the one we have right now, cannot inherit heaven. It must be changed. It must be changed. Verse 51, says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Remember what Jesus said back in John chapter 5. Going to be raised up from the dead. All the cemeteries are going to be emptied. Every single one of them is going to be emptied. All at the same time. And every single one is going to be raised. And every single one of those people will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Paul said it and stated it emphatically. Going to be changed. Why? Because those bodies, that physical body has to be changed and made ready to spend somewhere forever. It's going to be changed. He says, "The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality." I am mortal. This body's mortal. So God is going to change us and make this body an immortal one. Why? Because it's going to live somewhere forever. It's going to live somewhere forever. And our new bodies will be reunited with our spirits. The Bible says Hades is going to be opened up. And all bodies and spirits will be reunited. And then he says, all of those will spend somewhere forever. Either in that joyous state in heaven with God, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or in hell with Satan and his angels. That's what he says is going to happen. So when Job says, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" their answer is, yes, he will. And depending on the decisions and the choices we make on earth, those choices determine where we will spend eternity. So whether we live 5 years, 10 years, 100 years on earth, the decisions we make on earth during that time determines our destiny. And yes, we will be changed. We will live again. We will spend somewhere forever. Every single individual from the time of Adam and Eve will spend eternity in one of those two final destinations. That's why it's so important we make the right decisions now. Every day, every hour, make the right decisions. Sometimes we need to ask for prayer. Sometimes we need to confess wrongs. Sometimes we need to go to others and ask for forgiveness. Whatever we need to do, we must do if we want to spend that eternity with God. Tonight, if there is a need in your heart, your soul, to respond, then we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this invitation song.